Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia.
Saudara pendengar, tanggal 28 April menandai 25 tahun peristiwa pembantaian Port Arthur di Tasmania, di mana 35 orang kehilangan nyawa dan 23 lainnya luka-luka. Para pegiat pengendalian senjata mengatakan, peringatan itu adalah waktu yang penting untuk merefleksikan apa yang telah dicapai oleh Undang-Undang Senjata Australia dan untuk memastikan undang-undang itu tidak terkikis atau diubah. Berikut ini laporan tentang hal tersebut yang disusun oleh Sarah Maunder untuk SBS News. Pada hari Minggu tanggal 28 April 1996, Dr. Brian Walpole sedang dalam perjalanan pulang dari Rumah Sakit Royal Hobart ketika ia menerima telepon.
We'd been running a trauma course for junior hospital staff, and that had finished at about 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I had I drove home, and I lived down the river. I just arrived home to have a phone call from the hospital, so I needed to return at once. And I arrived at the hospital to find that there was an enormous amount of organisation going on, because nobody knew at that stage, nobody knew what we were receiving, but the evidence was something pretty big.
Sebelum peristiwa pembantaian Port Arthur, karier medis Dr. Walpole adalah dalam hal kekerasan senjata.
When I started out in emergency medicine, which is in 1975 in Melbourne, I vividly recall this 24-year-old woman from Yugoslavia who had been brought into the emergency department out of blood and dead.
Wanita yang disebut oleh Dr. Walpole itu adalah seorang ibu dari dua orang anak telah terbunuh oleh seorang pria yang sedang berlatih menembak di halaman belakang rumahnya. Berdasarkan peristiwa itu, Dr. Walpole merasa bahwa hukum senjata Australia perlu diubah.
And together with a few mates in the AMA, we got together the things that we thought that were wrong about guns from our professional medical practice. And we put that up to AMA.
Namun, kebijakan itu akan tetap tidak aktif selama lebih dari 20 tahun sampai terjadinya peristiwa di Port Arthur. Pelaku pembunuhan di Port Arthur mengambil senapan semi-otomatis dan kemudian ia berjalan menuju ke desa di mana terletak situs bersejarah bekas penjara koloni di Tasmania Selatan. Akibatnya, 35 orang tewas dan 23 orang lainnya luka-luka.
We had that policy sitting there, and every time there was a massacre, we'd pull it out and talk about it. But because gun control was a state issue, we couldn't get any traction. So then, the day after Port Arthur, the Tasmanian Premier, Tony Rundle, called me and Roland Brown, who's a lawyer in the Coalition for Gun Control, called us into his office. And I had a copy of the policy, which contained licensing, registration, safe storage, a cooling-off period, no automatics or semi-automatics, and no handguns. We had that written down. I gave him that. And that, in fact, turned out to be the basis of John Howard's gun control.
Rebecca Peters adalah salah satu pendorong di balik perubahan Undang-Undang Senjata Australia setelah terjadinya peristiwa di Port Arthur. Pada tahun 2016, ia dianugerahi piagam Order of Australia untuk pekerjaannya itu.
Well, as soon as I heard about the shooting at Port Arthur, I was just shocked like everyone, but then I quickly realized it must be a semi-automatic weapon involved because of the number of people killed.
Hanya 12 hari setelah pembantaian itu, Australia mengubah undang-undang senjatanya. Reformasi itu termasuk skema pembelian kembali nasional, pendaftaran senjata api, masa tunggu 28 hari, dan persyaratan penyimpanan senjata yang ketat. Namun Rebecca Peters prihatin karena dalam 25 tahun sejak tragedi itu, reformasi undang-undang senjata itu sekarang berada di bawah ancaman.
Because the National Firearms Agreement obviously was made very quickly. The agreement was that the states would reform their laws and to meet a certain standard, but there was nothing put in place to make sure the laws are maintained. And so there's no federal mechanism, there's no underlying federal law to make sure that the states don't change their laws.
Ia mengatakan peringatan itu adalah waktu bagi generasi muda untuk mengingat mereka yang meninggal dan melestarikan undang-undang persenjataan Australia.
a lot of people, especially young people in Australia, don't realise that there was a time when we had mass shootings in Australia. They don't realise there was a time when assault weapons were widely available, and they don't think about gun violence as a problem in daily life in Australia. And it's good. We don't want people to have to think about gun violence. We don't want to be like America, where kids have to be taught what to do if someone is attempting to murder them in school. But that the fact that they don't think about it means that the laws are vulnerable to being eroded while no one is watching. I guess I would like Australians to remember that there was a time when we weren't this safe, and the fact that we are safe is a reason to maintain the laws as strong as possible, and in fact to fix some of the loopholes that are emerging.
Sukai, berbagi, komentar. Ikuti SBS Program Bahasa Indonesia di Facebook.